have your Bible with you here this morning. If you can take it and turn to Acts chapter 5, we're looking at verses 17 through 32 in just a moment. When Christian Herder was the governor of Massachusetts, he was running hard for a second term, and one day after a busy morning of chasing some votes, he arrives at his church barbecue. It was late in the afternoon, and he was very hungry, so he goes through the serving line, and he comes to the lady who is serving the fried chicken, and she puts one piece of chicken on his plate. And the governor says, "Excuse me, do you mind if I have a second piece of chicken?" And the woman says, "Sorry, I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken per person." The governor decides to throw his weight around a little bit. He says, "Do you have any idea who I am? I am the governor of this state." And the lady looks at him and says, "Do you have any idea who I am? I'm the lady in charge of this chicken. You get one piece." The religious leaders wanted the message about Jesus silenced. As we look at this passage today, we see these leaders wanting this message silenced, and we see the disciples on a mission that God had ordained. The Pharisees thought they were the governor. They thought that they were the ones that were in charge. But the disciples were in charge of sharing the gospel, and they answered to a much higher calling. Let's read this together in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 32. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, "Go, stand and speak to the people in the temple, the whole message of this life." Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison, and they returned and reported back, saying, "We found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened up, we found no one inside." When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. But someone came and reported to them, "The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went along with his officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence, for they were afraid of the people that they might be stoned. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, so is the Holy Spirit who God has given to those who obey him." So let's give a little background as we look at this passage here today. The church is growing. In Acts 5:14, it says, multitudes were added to the number. The church is doing everything that it should do. And the apostles, especially Peter, are performing some amazing miracles. In Acts 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, they even carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. It appears that the gospel message cannot be stopped. The church is conquering. The church is doing everything the church should do. And it appears that nothing can stand in the way. It is a good time in the church. And then it says, a strong opposition rises up. When the church is doing what the church is supposed to be doing, there's going to be opposition to the message. And it says here, opposition rises up, a strong opposition, but the high priest rises up with along with his associates. That is the sect of the Sadducees. So let's look at that preposition here for a minute, but. This is a contrast happening here between the internal threats and the external threats of a church. In Luke chapter 5, Luke begins with that word, but. And here we have an internal threat to the church. In this setting, chapter 5, verse verse 1, you see Ananias and Sapphira, and their disobedience, their dishonesty becomes a major threat to the church. And then Luke introduces 5:17 with that same word, but, and here we have an external threat. The Sadducees were trying to stop the movement of the new church. See, Satan is seeking to destroy the church. Satan has a desire to destroy and to kill the church and to stop it from doing what it's called to do. And he will try to do that with internal threats from within the congregation. He will try to do that with external threats from things outside of our congregation. And in this passage here, we see the apostles being arrested for the second time. They had disregarded the Sanhedrin's commands. See, it was the opinion of the Sanhedrin's that the apostles were preaching a heresy and they were disturbing the peace and they were threatening the status quo. And for these reasons, they had to be stopped. And these external threats, these attacks from unbelievers, these attacks from the outside, they can often become our focus. And we see that here in the American church as American Christians. Sometimes we get so focused on external threats. Things like threats to our religious freedom and threats about maybe someday being persecuted or put in prison and arrest. And we have these worries and these threats, these external threats. And sometimes they can become such a great focus. But remember this. Remember that the spread of the word of God and the ministry of his church, it is the work of God. It is not the work of us. And there is no persecution that can ever happen that is going to silence the message of the gospel. Government attacks, they may come. A government attacks, they may even be likely, but they will not silence the gospel. They will not turn people away from the gospel. That's not possible. Internal threats, the attitudes and actions of believers, they are much, much more destructive than the external threats. See, the real enemy of the American church is not what happens on the outside. The real enemy of our church happens what happens here on the inside. We can handle the external threats. We can happen to things from the outside. It's the internal things that destroy the church. And we see that today. We see it today in our culture right now. We see churches that are struggling. And we see churches that are fighting. And there are external things that are impacting the church. And they're putting pressure on the church. And it's how the church responds. And the churches that respond, we have a message of the gospel and we're going to do what God has called us to do. We're doing fine. And the churches that are fighting, the churches that can't agree, the churches that are letting the external things determine what they do internally are struggling. The internal threats are such, such more dangerous than the outside ones. Look, outside threats are going to come. They are going to happen and we can't stop them. But how we respond is up to us. And we see this in this passage here today. The Sadducees, they were trying to stop out this new movement. It says in verse 17, it says, they were filled with jealousy. The Jewish religious leaders, they had nothing to offer the people. Their rituals, their traditions, their message, it was empty. They had nothing to offer. They could give nothing to the people that impacted their lives. And they were jealous. Because you had these men, these apostles, these followers of Jesus, and they were sharing a message of hope. And they were performing miracles, and their numbers were growing, and people began to follow them. And they had to get rid of this message. See, they tried to get rid of Jesus. They tried to get rid of him, and they failed. And now you have these followers of Jesus who are proclaiming the same message, and they're trying to get rid of the apostles. The apostles are becoming popular, and they don't like what they're teaching. And again, they are failing. And so to try to curb the tide of popular opinion, they have the apostles arrested publicly. And they place them in a public prison. And their thought here is that if we can do this publicly and people can see that we're arresting them and see that what they're doing, the perception they're doing is wrong, maybe they'll stop. But even if they don't stop, then people will view them as wrong. They'll view them as doing something illegal. And so they're trying to change their perception. And in reality, all they're doing is trying to change popular opinion to themselves. They're no more than the politicians that we have today that ride popular opinion, trying to change opinion to make themselves look good and make others not look good. But the church needs to continue in this to preach the message of Jesus. We need to continue to do that. See, these Sadducees, they didn't want to lose their standing in their community. They didn't want to lose their perks or their privileges. And the enemies of the church is the same today. There are those who don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the gospel message. And when the gospel spreads, where people turn to Christ, where people come to relationship with Jesus, when persecution comes, these men, these leaders, they lose their influence. And the dead religions of self and pride and personal gain, they die. And the world doesn't like it. And the world is going to attack. But when the world doesn't like it, and when the world doesn't attack, what do? We continue to proclaim the message of Jesus. The Jewish leaders, the Sadducees, they throw them in a public jail. And it says an angel of the Lord comes and releases them and commands them to preach in the temple. In this context, I'll give you a little history here. In this context, this is clearly an attack on the Sadducees. I find a lot of humor in this, you see, because the Sadducees had some beliefs that were pretty specific to them. One of those beliefs was they didn't believe in a resurrection. And one of the ways I always remember the difference between Sadducees and Pharisees, I always remember the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in an afterlife. And so they were sad, you see, because it'd be sad if this is all that there was. So that's how I remembered it as a kid growing up. But they also didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe that angels existed. And so I find great humor that the very being that they said did not exist went into the prison cell where the apostles were and freed them. Look, I think God could have done this any way that he wanted to. God could have just opened the cells on his own. He could have just miraculously moved them from the cell to where they go. I think this is an attack on the Sadducees. I think this was intentional that God decided to use an angel to do this. And the angel goes and he tells the disciples, he says, go speak the message of life. And so what do? Well, they respond. They go back to the very spot where they had been arrested. The very place where they arrest the first time, they go there. And here we see the line is drawn. In Acts 4:18, they're commanded not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And in verse 19, Peter and John respond, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. So after being threatened, what do? They continue to do the ministry that they're called to do. Nothing could keep them from doing what God had for them. And so they're arrested again for the same thing, for preaching the gospel. And notice the emphasis, the gospel. That's so important for us to understand. See, a disciple obeys God rather than man. And at the center of this decision about obeying God rather than man has to be the gospel of Jesus. Notice these apostles, they didn't go back to the temple and they didn't preach bad about the religious leaders. They didn't go and talk about how they were falsely accused and falsely arrested and how badly they were treated. That is not what they did. They went and they preached the truth. They went and preached the truth. Is there a lesson here for us? You see, we as believers, we as Christians, look, we're not called to stand against what is false. We are called to preach what is true. And we need to keep that in mind. We need to preach truth. And there is urgency in this message. See, the crowd, they saw these men publicly arrested. And they saw them put in jail. And now they see these same men publicly proclaiming the message of Jesus. Back in the exact same place. See, the world today is watching us. And the world today is watching believers, and they're going to watch how we respond to what's happening around us. And we have the responsibility, no matter what happens, that we maintain our strength and our boldness and proclaim the truth of Jesus. The Sadducees, their authority here is being called into question. See, not only were these apostles freed by this angel, which the Sadducees denied, but they went out and preached in the spot where they were told not to preach, to people who they were told not to talk to, and delivering a message of the resurrection, the message the Sadducees never even believed in. See, to obey God brings freedom in our life. And the apostles are a great example of this. And we're not talking about freedom from being taken out of the jail cell to go back into the temple to preach. We're talking about real freedom. Freedom that comes in a relationship with God. Freedom that comes from knowing that you have purpose in that relationship and knowing that, you can't help but do the purpose that God has created you to do. But you have created these men, they had freedom because it was so easy for them to go and to proclaim Jesus because that was all that they were. Everything that they did, their identity was centered around who Jesus was. And they did right what was in God's eyes, regardless of the obstacles that surrounded them. Urgency in the message of the gospel. Let's look at verses 21, the end of 21, verse through verse 26. It says, "Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison, and they returned and reported back, saying, 'We found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing at the doors, but when we had opened up, we found no one inside.' Now when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. But someone came and reported to them, 'The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence. They were afraid of the people that they might be stoned." So the leaders send for the apostles in jail, and they're not there. The Sadducees, unlike the apostles, they're not motivated by obedience to God. They're motivated by self. And so they send word to the officials and to go find the apostles. And what do they find? They find this empty prison. They find it still locked. The guards are still in place. The doors are still shut. But no one is there. See, they actually believed that they could lock away the message of salvation by putting the apostles in jail. This is tried over and over and over again in our world. There are those who seek to silence the message by placing the messengers in jail. Threats, persecutions, and death face believers all over our world. And you know what happens? Every place where persecution comes, where there's threats, where there's death, you know what happens? The gospel spreads, and the gospel continues to spread because these disciples of Jesus, a real disciple of Jesus, they speak boldness in the face of persecution. It is amazing to look and see what happens in the face of persecution. You can't put the message in jail. You can't put the message in prison. You can't. You can put the messengers there, but the gospel is not a work of us. It's a work of God, and it's going to spread. God commands this boldness. Even though the disciples have been arrested, even though they've been placed in prison, they experience this freedom, not from the prison cell, but freedom to go and to do what they were called to do in that urgency. And in verse 25, it says, "The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." Not only leaving the prison, again, but going to the exact place they were arrested and teaching the people. And the leaders send for them. They say, "Go get them and bring them before the council." And so Luke reports that the captain of the temple guard, he goes and he brings the men. And he goes to where they are and he finds them. And this was the same person who was responsible for arresting them in the first place. And so he goes and he rounds them up. And he rounds them up for doing what they were doing before. The same thing they arrested for the first time, teaching the people. But this time he quietly persuades them to come with him. See, the Jewish leaders, they persuaded them to come quietly. They were afraid of the people, again, more concerned with what people thought than what was right. See, the apostles, they were bad for business. They were teaching about the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And they're teaching that only through Christ can someone be saved. And the Sadducees don't like it. But they don't know what to do with it. And so this time they quietly, and they say, "Come here." And again, motivation is himself. And as we look at this, I think it's important that we see that the gospel message should be something that unites us. The gospel message should be something that unites us. The church should be united. And we hear that a lot in our culture today. Churches need to get along, and churches need to be united, and we should all work together. But you also notice, what should we unite over? The central message is the gospel of Jesus. There's nothing else that can unite us. We have to be united over Jesus and the disciples, the apostles here. They're united in Christ, and they're preaching a message that says, look, if there's a way that you can be united, there's a way that you can have fellowship with God. And the Sadducees, they do not like this message. Let's look at verses 27 through 32 together. And when they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us?" But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So the Jewish leaders here, they stress their authority. "We gave you orders. We told you what you could and what you couldn't do. We gave you orders." And Peter responds, and the other apostles appeal, and they say, "We have a higher authority. We must obey God rather than man." See, the Bible teaches submission to our authorities. The Bible teaches submission to governing authorities, but the Bible demands submission to God above all. And when man's demands and when God's demands are in conflict, we have to make a choice. And in that, we have to make the choice to obey God. However, remember, this choice centers on the gospel. I've been asked many times over the last several months, when is it okay to not obey our government? And as a Christian, we may come to a place we have to make those decisions. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was with a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast. And one of the pastors looks at the president and says, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln responded, and he showed great insight, and he says, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." See, we better make sure that we're making godly decisions. Too often we're concerned with God blessing us. Too often we're concerned with whether or not God is on our side. And we need to be more concerned with, are we doing what God wants us to do? And are we on God's side? I said this, and I will say it again. We better be humble in our decisions to disobey our governing authorities. And we better make sure that we are making godly decisions. And we are godly in our actions. And that the gospel is the reason that we disobey. So we can't disobey our governing authorities because we don't like the rules. We can't disobey our governing authorities because it's inconvenient. We cannot disobey them because we want to use God's name to seek our own desires. We can't disobey for those reasons, but we better disobey if they tell us we can't speak the gospel. We better disobey if they say we can't talk about Jesus. We better disobey when the governing authorities clearly contradict the message of God's commands. Then we have to make that choice that we disobey and we follow God. It's so important we check ourselves, check our motivations, and make sure that we are responding to the gospel. Peter, again, shows them, Sadducees, he shows them their motivation. And he explains to them, he says, "Look, you are the ones who killed Jesus. But it was God who brought him back to life." He pointed the finger at him. "You hung him on a tree. You hung him on the cross. But God brings him back to life." The decisions of the Sadducees and the message of the gospel, they are at odds. And if we don't care about the gospel, then it's divisive. But if you care about the gospel, it's motivation. It's motivation to continue to proclaim, and all we do in proclaiming Jesus. Why? Because the gospel brings salvation. Notice as you look through Acts and as you study the life of Peter, Peter preaches the same themes over and over and over again. No matter the circumstances, Peter continues to preach the same theme over and over and over again. He preaches crucifixion. Jesus crucified, Jesus resurrected. Repent from your sins, receive forgiveness, and you can have eternal life. That's the message that Peter continues to proclaim. And every time he proclaims that message, the Jewish leaders despise the message, hate the message, and want to silence the message. But the conviction of Peter, "We will not listen to you. We will not stop teaching, and we will not stop filling the city with the good news of Christ. You are in complete opposition to what God commanded us to do, but we're not going to listen to you. And church, that is our mission. It does not matter what anybody says. We have a mission to reach our community, our state, our country, our world, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our mission, and we cannot deter from that mission." as we've been going through this whole COVID thing over the last several months, there are things that we have to make adjustments to. But I've said this over and over again, we have to continue to do ministry. We have to continue to be about the gospel, and we got to find ways to still impact people, and that may look differently, but we have to do it because that is our mission. And church, we cannot stop. We cannot stop from doing what God has called us to do. The Jewish leaders, they had crucified their Messiah, but God raised Jesus. He exalted Jesus. And God was offering repentance and forgiveness through Jesus. That simple gospel message. A message that we have to proclaim. And this should be our motivation. This needs to be our focus. This needs to be our drive as disciples of Jesus to proclaim God's truth and proclaim Him as Savior. Let me ask you to consider this message today. To consider what it looks like to be a disciple. We've watched Peter. We've watched Peter through the last several weeks grow from that man in the fishing boat to the man who asked Jesus questions, who oftentimes stuck his foot in his mouth. We looked at Peter as the man who denied Jesus three times, and Jesus had to restore him. And now we see Peter as a man who, in the face of persecution, is proclaiming the truth. We are in different places in our Christian walk as disciples of Jesus. And we need to grow as our relationship with Jesus and get to the point where we can look at the disciples and see these apostles and see the life of Peter and say, I want to be like that no matter what happens in my life. I want to be known as a man who stands for the gospel. Now, we want to be known for different things, and we like to take stands. But let's take one that matters. Let's take one that matters. And let's stand on the truth of this and not get caught up in everything else.